Hello and welcome to the conversation today on technology and how we can parent our kids well in this technological world. Our guest here is Arlene Pelican. She's a speaker and an author and the host of the Happy Home podcast. She's been featured on a ton of media outlets talking about parenting and faith and home life and all kinds of great things. And most pertinent to our conversation is that she is a parent. And so thanks for joining us here today, Arlene.
It's so great to be with you. And I'm not only a parent, I am a Summit parent. I'm a parent of someone who has been to Summit.
That is also significant. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about that. Where are you in the parenting journey? How many kids do you have? What's life look like for you?
Yeah, so my husband and James and I have three children. We go boy, girl, girl. So my boy Ethan is already a sophomore in college, which is kind of like a what? How did that happen? And then my daughter Noelle is a senior and my other daughter Lucy is a ninth grader. So kind of crazy that your baby is now in high school. Both of the girls are at the same school now, which kind of makes that part of life easier, you know, instead of going to all the different schools. So it's just been such a joy. I just love being a mom. It's been great. We're in Southern California, San Diego. The kids go to public school, and that's a bit about us.
That's fantastic. Now, tell me what was, I mean, maybe the short version, what got you into the space of talking about parenting and marriage and technology and all these things?
Yeah. So the parenting and marriage, that is just kind of like what I love. So I love family. I love talking about the family. I see that the nuclear family is in trouble, needs encouragement. So I'm kind of like a cheerleader kind of person. So I like to come alongside and say, hey, how can we make this easier for you? How can we make this work? Because these things are really important. Having that marriage in place, having children that are really being discipled and loved on by their parents, et cetera. And then the technology piece was really a God thing because, you know, we had been doing things differently. We kind of had seen, my husband's a realtor and he's been around with a van full of clients, seeing a new house that they're, you know, about to live in. And the kids are like not looking at the house because they're looking at devices and they've got their earbuds in. And he's thinking, you're going to live in this house and you haven't even looked at it. So having those kinds of experiences made us as parents think, okay, what can we do to make sure that that doesn't happen? You know, how can we raise kids who are more aware of what's going around them, who are more service oriented with people who enjoy books and music and art, et cetera, you know, and who can read the Bible and pay attention, you know, all those kinds of things that we would love as parents. So that took us down a different path technologically in terms of like no video games or no social media, et cetera. And then Moody Publishers, actually, Dr. Gary Chapman came along and said, we want to write toward this topic. You have kids in this topic. Why don't we team up? So that was like a God thing. That's not anything I could have dreamt up, but that's been something that we've really, really been passionate about talking about, that it's not that you have to throw out all your technology. Obviously, you're using technology to listen to me right now. So there are digital vegetables out there, but a lot of kids, all they're having is digital candy. And that's why we see a lot of sickness, both in Christian and non-Christian homes.
Oh, that's so good. That's exactly where I wanted to go first. I think when we talk about technology, it can be really easy to jump to, you know, gaming and social media and binge watching videos and Netflix and whatever and pornography and like just really big, scary, in many cases, bad things. So does that mean, technology is all bad? It seems like you're alluding to no, but help us chew through that a little bit.
And what you just said really is worthwhile because those are real harms and real dangers. But why do we as parents, grandparents say, oh, here's the phone, here's the tablet, you know, here's this. And it is a mixed bag because you are going to find things that are helpful for you. And that's what's different than like drugs or alcohol. You kind of know like that's pretty much never going to be good for you. But with a phone or with a tablet, it's like, oh, you could be, you know, FaceTiming grandma. Like that is really good for your relationship. You could be staying in touch with friends by texting. You could be watching a video about like a subject you're passionate about, whether it's fixing oil in a car or starvation in Africa. Like it can be used for good things. But ask the average child or teen, what are you doing? they're not like, oh, I'm touring the Louvre right now. Or, you know, like, oh, I'm learning about the water project in Nigeria. This is, you know, I'm learning Latin. So I can, you know, or even Spanish. Let's break it down. So it's like they're not doing math. They're not listening to sermons. They're not doing Bible memory. So what we have to understand about the device is, yes, there are great things, and technology is amazing. It is amazing what it can do. And it's can be very, very good. But we also have to understand, wait, my child has to learn how to use this correctly, this device correctly, because they're going to have it in their hand, in their bag for the rest of their life. And they have to learn how to use this, how to discern like what's healthy and what's not healthy. And we really must, you know, I think about the U.S. Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, who said, you are pitting a child against the world's greatest product designers, and it's not a fair fight. So we have to understand, it's not just that our kid was bad or they didn't have self-control. It's that, wait a minute, this is actually engineered to keep you going. There is no stopping point to any kind of social media. Like, you know, of course, you used to be able to watch a show and then it would stop. And then in the old days, you'd have to wait a whole week, you know, to watch that show again. Yeah. There was no other option. But obviously here, if you're on Netflix, you've got to be proactive to stop. You know, it's going to queue up for you and your child the next thing. And you have to be like, oh, no, I'm going to stop watching, which is impossible when you've just watched 10 seconds of a cliffhanger that you want to see how that resolves. So we have to understand this is not a fair fight. Technology already is geared to learn us, to know what we want, to give it to us. So we have kind of this endless loop that's engineered, baked in. And this is only going to get greater as AI takes greater hold. This kind of tie is going to only get better. So as parents, we have to be aware, like, wait a minute, this is not just a neutral device. It is not a neutral device. It is something that is designed to keep you there.
Yeah, man, there's so much to think about. And I think we all sort of know that as we engage, you know, subliminal, like just in our soul, we can feel that it's drawing us in, it's pulling us in. And sometimes that can be really good in a compelling way, as you mentioned earlier, but also in just a really degrading way that we just feel ourselves being pulled into the device or into the screen or whatever it might be. So how do we, you mentioned discernment. Let's lean in on that a little bit. You know, that's a trick in all of our lives to learn. Specific to technology, how do we start to implant that discerning mindset into our kids?
Yeah. A lot of it, I think, is watching, like, what do you watch? And then how do you exercise discernment in your life and bringing your kids alongside of that and showing them. So even like a teenager and a mom sitting on the couch together, probably a girl, and you're going through, you know, your social media and you talk about, oh, these are people I follow and this is kind of why I follow them. Or, you know, this is one thing I like about social media. So the mom talking, but you know what? Sometimes I find myself just wasting time, et cetera. And hey, when I saw this come up, I knew like, hey, that's not a good thing. So I'm just going to unfollow that. I'm going to block that. Talking through that so they see like, okay, I need an example. Like kids and teenagers need an example. We think because they're technology, they're smarter about that, right? Like just technologically. So certainly they must know, but they don't. So it's like we give them a phone and we think, oh, you know how to use this, but they don't. So I think really sitting on the couch together, going through things when you're at that stage where you're introducing that and going through a feed together and talking about each thing and what made you click on that and what's going to happen if you click on something, but then you regret it. Are you going to come to me? I want you to feel like you can come to me. So all those conversations. So I think a lot of it is conversation, but an example, but a lot of it too is understanding as a parent, I can't expect my 8-year-old to have discernment on this subject. I might not be able to even expect my 13 or my 15-year-old to be able to discern. Yeah. So then it becomes a, hey, availability issue of, hey, I'm not going to fund this temptation machine, you know, in your pocket. Like I'm not going to pay for that. So I think for a lot of us parents, we can kind of push back against, well, wait a minute, my child's not ready for that. A lot of it I think is environment. What are we allowing them easy access to?
Yeah. We have to keep in mind where are they at and how are we meeting them in that and supporting them in the best way. We do that with a lot of other things, right? Whether it be even, the government is saying, you know, you can drive at this age, right? That's only when it's appropriate. And we all sort of know that we don't want 10-year-olds behind the wheel of a car, right? Because they're just not smart enough or capable of making those decisions. And maybe even 16, we could,
I know. Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. I just think of my own 16-year-old self, but,
but
either way,
But driving is a really good analogy, because in the same way, you don't just say, here are the keys, have fun. You don't give a phone, you don't give a tablet, here's the, you know, have fun. But it's a probationary period, like just having a learner's permit. Like, how do you do with this? If we find that, you know, this is really unhealthy for you, it's going to go away, you know? And so just having those conversations and just feeling like I'm going to onboard technology slowly and intentionally, just like I would a driver's license. I'm going to sit behind the wheel with you and teach you how to use this. Does this take time? Yeah, it takes time. But is it worth it? It's totally worth it because you're teaching them. So that's a great analogy, phones and a driver's license.
Yeah. I mean, what I hear you describing earlier, you said, you know, we sort of assume that they just know how to use it, and they do know how functionally, right?
My
2-year-old already, you know, just, and we don't have a ton of technology and he just gets it. And yet, but wisdom in using, like, that's a totally different how, right? So yeah, we need to approach that. So talk about some of the ways in which, you know, if we don't approach this thoughtfully, you know, how does it get out of hand with the development and growth of our kids in their, you know, emotional and educational and just their growth and development?
This is a huge question. So just think of their brain, right? Their brain is developing. It used to be till age 25. Now they say till age 30, that prefrontal cortex that makes the decisions that says, you know, I've been sitting here for 3 hours. I should probably use the restroom and walk away from this game or whatever it is they're doing. So to understand, how is this impacting my child's brain? Because the brain in one way is lazy. It's just going to do what it's used to doing. And so if your child is used to, in all my free time, I play games, or it might be an educational game even, or I pick up a device or I watch something, that's what the brain is trained to do. And that's the adult brain that child is going to get. There's a huge, another brain growth, believe it or not, during puberty. So it's like whatever they're doing during puberty, that's what the brain is learning, like, oh, this is what I do. So understanding that these wonderful personal skills that we want our kids to have, looking someone in the eye, having empathy, being able to show sadness when they're sad, being able to mourn something, grieve something, all these things we want our kids to do, well, they have to practice those things. Those things have to happen in real time. But if the bulk of their time is spent watching, right, you're watching something, there's not a whole lot to work out there. You're just being entertained or amused. And so a lot of kids don't have the emotional cues. Like, they don't know if their friend is a little sad or something. They don't see it because they're not used to looking at a face and those really subtle cues. Instead, they're used to looking at texts and emojis and memes. And it's like, it doesn't connect. So emotionally, our kids are not as strong or as robust, right, as the kid that didn't have the technology and has spent hours and hours and hours playing outside with real people face to face. I mean, it's a huge difference. You know, I talked to a kindergarten teacher and they were saying, it's so weird, like at recess, like kids for generations have just like played at recess. And these kids like just stand there. They don't know what to do when they don't have devices. So this is the kind of emotional development that should kind of scare us. Like, my kids should be able to do that. And you mentioned the educational, you know, the basic component of education is reading. Like, every, you know, study will tell you if your kid is a strong reader, their likelihood of them succeeding in school is far greater than if they are a weak reader. Well, how does one become a strong reader? It's not that difficult, by reading.
Yeah, yeah.
And for us as parents, we can do our part to bring material that interests our kids, right, as much as possible, meet them at the age and stage they're at, give them books that they want to read. But if they're on devices a lot, it's really going to be hard for them to go like, oh, yay, I want to read a book now.
Yeah.
But if they're not on devices a lot, guess what? That book becomes this doorway to the imagination that's really beautiful. So reading really is a key way to help your kid educationally. And if you're having that pushback, like, oh, I don't have a kid who reads, try doing like a fast from technology where all they have to do is read. And all of a sudden you'll discover like, oh my word, my child loves to read in the absence of other things. Yeah. It's like, my child loves the series. Now they love to read.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, there's so much there that we could unpack. But, you know, in thinking about this developmental stages, if you're starting to wonder like, okay, have we maybe, allowed too much technology into our home or into, you know, my child's life. And you mentioned some of these things like their ability to look in somebody's eye, their ability to show emotions or even just, you know, the kind of gut feeling of like, I feel like my kids should be able to, you know, play when they're given time to play or whatever. So, so there's some of those, what are ways we start to identify those? You mentioned conversation earlier of just being in conversation with your kids. What are some other ways we can just make ourselves more aware of some of these kind of signs?
We are busy, right? So we're running around and it has to be something very big for us to notice like, wow, you just screamed and cussed at me. Something is happening, right? So sometimes we wait until this really big thing happens. But if we will just maybe after listening to this conversation, say, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to on purpose observe my child, like really thoughtfully, just, you know, before dinner, what do they do? After dinner, what do they do? You know, what are their habits before bedtime? What was their mood like after school? Really just kind of be a student of your child, observe your child. And what you're looking for in terms of technology is, are there different patterns and different behaviors that my child is doing? So for instance, if my child used to love playing soccer or playing an instrument or reading books or playing with kids outside, but you know what? They have not done that for a long time. Instead, they're inside, they're on the couch, they're with a device. You know, these are warning signs to us that things are kind of, and please believe me, if this is you, you're like 98% of the people listening and out there. So don't feel like, oh my word, I'm such a terrible parent. I've let this happen. It's a slow, steady slide. And all of a sudden you feel like, oh my goodness, what happened to my child? Like literally, where did my child go? Like, I can't find him or her. It's a different person in there. Yeah. So when you start having those warning signs, you know, a lot of it will be a different of behavior, things that they used to like, they don't do anymore. They're becoming more withdrawn. They're spending more time alone. They're in their room more. There's more pushback when you go to church, when you go out, when you say, we want to go out to dinner, we want to go with these friends, there's more pushback. Oh, I really don't want to go. My stomach hurts. I'd rather stay home. You know, this kind of thing. These are all really good warning signs of, hey, what's going on with my kid? And how is this technology changing them? How is that relationship growing too important? And I do have a quiz, is my child getting too much screen time? It's a free quiz at happyhomeuniversity.com. So you can have that link, but it's just to kind of help us be aware what's going on with my kid.
Mm, that's great. I mean, it's so helpful to have tools to, you know, sometimes the most helpful thing is something outside of ourselves to just make ourselves realize something we already kind of know or feel, or just we have trouble identifying. And so that's good to know. So I think about, man, conversation and observation. We do move so fast through life, taking some time to really just engage with our kids, maybe not even directly, but just observationally. That's a really good insight. You talk in your book on this, about five skills in particular. So as we go back maybe to kind of the discernment and skill, things we're trying to grow in our kids, what are some of these ways we can equip them to go out in the world? As you said earlier, they're going to have the phones, they're going to have the computers, they're going to have things in front of them. They're going to need to know how to engage with those. So how do we, you know, send them off into the world with the right kind of skills to engage with that?
Yeah. And obviously that's a big answer. Yeah. And Dr. Chapman, Gary Chapman and I, we wrote this book, Screen Kids, with 5 A+ skills that if you proactively work on these, so let me tell them to you and you can kind of see. So the first A+ skill is affection. Can your child give and receive love? You know, that's the most important thing for your kid, to feel loved. And most of you are probably familiar with the 5 love languages, and just asking, how does technology maybe impede that language? Like, so for instance, if your kid loves words, but you guys are watching TV all the time, guess what's happening over the years? And I'm not just talking about one instance, right? If one night something happens kind of like out of the ordinary, you guys watch TV for 5 hours, it's not going to kill you. It's going to be probably pretty fun. But if this is something that's constantly happening, that constantly there's TV, and instead of words, that child doesn't have that love language spoken to them because that TV is taking that place. So affection, appreciation, is your child appreciative? Are they grateful? And what we're seeing today with so many kids and teenagers is they're so used to getting what they want when they want it with no trouble. Right? Because if you watch something, it's going to queue up automatically. If you want to watch more, you can. If you don't like what's shown, there's 500 other options. So they're really used to getting what they want when they want it, and they throw a fit when they don't get what they want. What that is completely the opposite of appreciation, right? That just says, I have this little piece of paper and I'm thankful, you know? Yeah. So for kids, you know, delaying the devices, delaying gratification, those kinds of things will help you raise a thankful child. So really work on appreciation. That's going to make your child so much more pleasant to be around. And it's so lovely when you meet a thankful child. The third A is the A plus skill of anger management. Your kid's going to get angry, but how do they manage that? Are they able to say, I am angry because, are they able to understand what made me angry? Are they able to tell, okay, I'm angry because there was a real injustice, like you stole that from me, and that is an injustice, and I'm angry, versus, you know, like, you didn't do what I told you. I didn't have my way, yeah, and I'm really angry about it. So can they tell the difference? So anger management. The fourth skill is apology. Can they say, I'm sorry? Take responsibility instead of, oh, it was so-and-so's fault. We live in a culture of victimization, of shame, of like, it wasn't you, it was them. So we don't want our kids to grow up with this, like, it wasn't me, it was you that did it, you know, or a breakdown of a friendship. I don't know how to apologize. I'm just going to like smear you on social media. You know, we don't want that. We want a kid who can say, you know what? I did the wrong thing. I'm still learning. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? So that to be able to apologize. And the last A plus skill is attention. Can your child or teenager pay attention when it counts? You know, whether it's sitting through a sermon at church, whether it's getting through a math test, whether it's listening to a friend who really needs a listener right at that moment. Can they pay attention? And technology, you know, is just winding us up so that we really need a lot to make us pay attention. And so the more we can be off of the technology, the more we can realize, hey, I'm able to have a deep conversation. I'm able to pay attention. I can take my wandering mind and I can make it focus. So those are A plus skills. You can tell if you have an affectionate kid, an appreciative kid, a kid who won't be, who knows how to be angry in a positive way, and one who's willing to apologize, and one who can pay attention. I mean, they're going to be a leader for tomorrow, and they're going to have a lot better of chance to have good relationships around them.
Yeah. Wow. I hear that list. Thank you for that overview. That's amazing. I hear that list. I'm convicted in my own life, right? Am I showing all of these things, right? These are really difficult skills, but important skills to lean into, to be able to be affectionate and appreciative.
And we have to observe, this isn't, you know, we're so used to like, oh, well, we'll just download the app and get that. So like our kids just figure like, oh, I'll just get the app or cram. But these are things you can't cram. This is something technology cannot teach you. And so that's what we're missing, is kids are really tech savvy, but they're not emotionally savvy or relationally savvy. And just like you talked about your two-year-old who can pick up a tablet and do something, our kids who are, let's say, digitally behind, it won't take them long at all to catch up. Like, it's really not that hard. Press the button. Like, it's not that hard. But the kids who are emotionally behind, relationally behind, mentally behind, it's going to take them a lot longer to catch up. So just keep that in mind if you feel like, oh man, my kid's going to get left behind because they didn't have all the bells and whistles and all the apps that the other kids have. And I can assure you, my kids didn't get phones all the way through high school and they did just fine. So my son has a phone now that he's in college and he didn't go crazy with it because he never had one before, you know? So it's all these things that it really can work.
I think you're just hitting on something so significant of it taking time, like growing these skills, learning these just necessary skills for life. Take time. You mentioned earlier when you were talking about observing and conversation of it takes intentionality and time. Like this is hard work. I was just reading something earlier that said something like, if you're not tired, if you're a parent and you're not tired, only good parents, you know, say that parenting is hard or something like that. Like, you know,
like you care.
The point is, like, it should be exhausting in a good way, in a way that you're pouring yourself into your kids and teaching them and growing them and developing them. So,
And just by you listening to this, you're here, you are a good parent. Mm-hmm. So there's no doubt about it in my mind. You're listening, you're a good parent. And there's also a thing of if you will do the thing that's hard at the beginning, you will get easy later. I promise you, if you will do the hard thing now, then a month from now, 3 months from now, a year from now, you're not having the everyday fights. But if you just like kind of coast through and you're just like, okay, that's kind of hard. I don't want to throw a fit. I'll give you that. Guess what? You are battling that for a long time. So honestly, I push back against the hardness a little bit, because if you will do the hard things first, your kids will get good habits, and then those good habits will carry them, and it'll make them much more pleasant to be with.
Mm, good wisdom there. I love the idea of like, they're both compounding. Take the easy route is compounding, but to take the hard route is compounding in that the goodness, the fruit of it is, it just continues to flow from it. That's so
that's
good. Good.
That's right.
So, some parents might be listening to this and, you know, unlike you who were thought of this kind of early in your parenting journey, early enough to say, okay, we're going to withhold some things for the sake of the long run. They might be feeling like, man, I am behind. My kid is saturated in Netflix, or they got devices in their room. They're gaming for hours. I can't get their attention. I don't even know where to start. How do we help, you know, how do we look at this and say, okay, I know this is a problem. Yeah. And I want to do something now, but I can't go back in time. So now what?
That's exactly right. You can't go back. So from this moment forward, what are things to do? And I think you can start by seeking God, like, God, at this moment, what would help my kid, my teenager the most? And then you're coming alongside your teenager, your child, you're letting them know, hey, you know what? You can apologize. We talk about this all the time, Dr. Chapman and I, that it starts with a, you know what? We're new at this parenting thing. We've never had, you know, an eighth grader or a 10th grader or whatever it is you have. And we've allowed you to have these things, but we're seeing like it's taking away a lot of the joy and the fun of your life, of what we think child could be for you. And we're sorry. Like, we take responsibility that we didn't put in the guardrails that we should have. And, you know, your kid's not going to be like, oh, you know, great, take my phone now. You know, so they're just going to be like, whatever. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad you didn't have any guardrails, Mom. You know, but, you know, starting with that apology and then really trying to communicate, whether it's, hey, let's go out to ice cream, let's go on a walk, let's go on a camping trip, whatever it is, like, let's try to communicate. I want to come alongside of you and I want to help you in the time remaining that you're here at home, that you have a digitally healthy life. And so some kids will be okay talking with you about this and will be able to admit, like, yeah, I don't really like it, Mom. Like, take it away. Some kids will actually be able to talk about it and say, I wish I wasn't so connected to this. I think a lot of it comes to get that children and teenagers, they need that sense of a dream and a sense of purpose. Like, what is this keeping me from? If I am on a device for 8 hours a day, what is this keeping me from? What could I be doing with this time? And too many kids are like, I have no idea. I don't think it matters. I might as well just be here. But if they could be given a greater vision, you know, for like, wow, you could be this, you know, race car driver, or you could be this, you understand what I'm trying to say, amazing chef, or you could be an artist, or you could be an engineer, or you could solve cancer. Like, just to give them that greater thing of, you know what, this is okay what you're doing in this electronic world, but what could be better? And once they taste the better, you know, once a kid starts doing the thing they were created to do, right? Sitting on a couch 8 hours a day is not what God created these kids to do. Yeah. So once they start doing what they were created to do, they're going to be like, oh, this is so much better, but they just need help. And you need to be really strict on that bridge to get them there, because you're going to want to give up. You're going to be like, oh, they won't do anything. They don't want to do anything. But you'll talk, you know, I'll talk to 20 somethings and they'll say, you know, I played baseball and I keep playing baseball and I'm so much happier playing baseball than I am just sitting in my room, you know? So once they get that, it's so much healthier for them. So giving them that vision, really being kind of, it might mean a fast, you know, it might mean taking away a device and do it together. Like, be like, let's all fast from social media for 2 weeks and kind of talk about how we feel and replace it with something else. Let's try new things. Let's get you that skateboard. Let's go to a ropes course. Let's, you know, let's do these things and see what you like.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I love that. You know, you didn't say, you know, we'll come home one day and just collect all the devices and donate them and, you know, blow everything up and really, you know, but just coming alongside and saying, okay, being honest and saying, okay, I'm realizing where maybe I've had some shortfalls and I want this to be better for a better purpose. I mean, that's the beauty of the Christian worldview, is that the whole thing is better. Like that Jesus offers a better and more fulfilling, a completely fulfilling life. And when we lean into that, so much fruit comes from it. So I thank you so much for all of these things. As we wrap up here, I hear you just saying, you know, be in conversation and observing your kids. So be intentional, set an example. When things have gotten off the rails, come back to them, be honest, be together. And then cast, I love that. Give them a greater vision for what life could be. Yeah. Instead of playing the racing game, which might be fine for a rainy day, but like, what would it be like to go to the go-kart track together or whatever it looks like? That sounds so much more fun.
Don't just watch it, do it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I can want to also encourage,
please,
you know, the weight, the longer you can push back a device, the better. So it's also environment. What, you know, if I had a bag of M&Ms on my desk and I just told myself, I'm just going to eat 5 a day. I mean, there's no way I'm going to do that. I'm going to eat them all day long because it's sitting right in front of me.
Yeah.
So once a child has a tablet, a phone that's theirs, it is very difficult for them to monitor that. So the longer you can push back that device, don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to be the only sixth grade mom, the only eighth grade dad that doesn't let their kid have a phone or a device or a certain video game or be on social media or whatever it is. Do not be afraid of that, because I promise you, you will never hear a parent that's like, oh, I should have given them the phone sooner. They would have, you know, that would have helped them so much. Or I should have let them play Fortnite like 3 years ago. That would have been so awesome for their life. You know, there's no parent who ever says that. Every parent says, what do they say? I wish I would have waited. It was too soon. And now I've opened Pandora's box and I can't shut the lid, you know? Yeah. So wherever you're at, when you're thinking about that next device, next game, next level, whatever, just remember this moment and say, you know what? Why don't we wait a few months? Why don't we wait a year and talk again? You know, just keep pushing that, because you're helping the environment. You're giving them more of a successful chance at doing other things that are not technology driven.
Yeah. I love that. Andy Crouch puts it as living almost Amish. I think he says something like that, right? How can we a whole lot more Amish than we think we should maybe have to live. We don't have to really, you know, go for the no electricity, but what if we had board games on the table and books accessible and the TV not in the center of our house and, or not in the house at all, or whatever that looks like. And it's going to take a full family kind of effort. I'm always convicted of that. I can't just tell my kids, you know, my son, oh, put the phone down. Well, you know, I'm the one who has the phone in his hand all the time as well. So, environment being a holistic, you know, what does the entire home look like? So that's so good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This is a lot here. Where can people find more if they, you know, you mentioned your book earlier, your podcast, I think. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about.
So the Happy Home Podcast. I'm interviewing marriage experts and parenting experts. So that's a great place to connect with me, the Happy Home Podcast. And then the book is Screen Kids, and also has a companion book, Grandparenting Screen Kids, because a lot of grandparents are helping with their grandkids these days. And then you can go to my website, is simply my name, Arlene Pellegrini. Kane.com.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I would encourage people to check that out and get more resources from you. I'm sure there's so much more. I mean, I just think about those 5 A+ skills. Like, there's, you know, we could probably have a conversation on each one of them individually.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thanks so much for your time. We are so grateful.
Thanks, Aaron.
And it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.